It is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. Happy Tuesday to you. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. I've already been hanging out for an hour with you. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. You got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you have a smart speaker at home, at work, if you use no hands, you ask the machine to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've already talked about the Indianapolis Colts. They got a new starting quarterback. His name is Daniel Jones. Anthony Richardson, you got to take a seat, buddy. C.J. Carr is the new starting quarterback for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Arch Manning says, I don't know what my grandpa is talking about. Not the first time anybody said that about their grandpa. Arch Manning says, I'm taking it day by day. I've made no decisions about next year's draft or the year after that or 4 years of college. He says, I'm going day by day. Hey, speaking of teams in Indiana, the Indiana Pacers, they've decided to give Rick Carlisle an extension. Good luck. No Halliburton, no Miles Turner. Good luck. And then Nick Saban says, man, I don't know what Greg McElroy is talking about. I'm not even thinking about coming back. What's wrong with that guy? Yeah, that's where it is. Look, if you want to be a part of the show, you can do that too. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. You can find me on the internet everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. Yeah, that's where people are hanging out on the internet, saying crazy things to each other, arguing with strangers, wasting your time and productivity. Yeah, the internet, worse than television, worse than TV. Anyway, 888-710-4ISN. It's 888-710-4ISN. I was going to say, man, I remember when people used to say, oh, my God, the TV is going to destroy you. It's going to eat at your brain. You're stuck in front of the TV. It's going to make you rot. And then came the World Wide Web. Then came the internet. Then came social media. Cell phones. You thought TV was doing a number on your brain? Yeah, welcome to modern technology. What will they think of next? I don't know. Hopefully I'm not around for it. Anyway. Hey, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I'm around at. Thank you to our producer in New York City, Ryan Botcher. You want to be a part of the show? You can do that too. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. And too much of a good thing can be bad for you. Using anything too much is not good. I don't know. It could be technology. It could be food. You could be addicted to alcohol. You could be addicted to your cell phone. Is a lot of things. Too much of anything isn't always good. Nothing. Everything is all about balance. The yin and the yang. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You can get with this or you can get with that. Botcher, we had this conversation a few months ago. Have you tried going outside without your cell phone? Have you tried doing that yet?
No, I have not. I still don't see a reason to do that yet.
Oh, my God.
I feel like I need to be supervised.
To free your brain. You need to be supervised from what?
Just in case I get missing. I go lost.
Somebody wants to kidnap you? You doing stuff to people out here?
No. I'm not under attack. I just, sometimes I get a little confused, and I don't know where I'm going sometimes.
What?
I'm heavily reliant on GPS
okay.
and maps to the point where it's a little sad.
You know where you live locally, right? Can you get around where you live locally?
I can get around locally.
You know how to go to a park?
Yeah. The park's not that far from me, actually.
So you can't go to the park without your cell phone?
I could.
Well, why don't you try it one day?
Okay.
Yeah, do it.
I just...
Go on a picnic. Leave your phone at home and go on a picnic. Do it.
Yeah, but then if it's sunny and there's a lot of ants, you know?
What are you going to do? Burn the ants with your cell phone? What are you doing?
No, I'm just not gonna go for a picnic. I don't know. I'd rather be inside.
Ants? Okay.
Right. Ants, which, the sun, everything.
Okay. You're allergic to outside, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
It's like the guy from the bench warmers.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Well, there you I mean, if that's the case, then if we can't get you outside, then there you have it. No reason to go outside without your phone if you don't go outside at all. Reasonable. Too much of a good thing is not good for you. Even inside, Bacha, even inside. Even inside. Too much of a good thing. You know, and thinking about too much of a good thing. Last night as we sat here on air, I can't even say watching this preseason game because who's really watching this? Last night we had the Bengals and the Commanders. The Bengals ended up beating the Commanders in D.C. or outside of D.C. The final score for people's backups or people who care about their backups who played in the game was 31-17 Bengals over the Commanders. We saw Jaden Daniels strike fast. He hit so damn fast, I didn't even realize he played in the game. He rushed for a touchdown. And then you had Joe Burrow, who was out there for three drives. Joe Burrow completed 9 of 14 passes, 62 yards, one touchdown, and two sacks. Joe Burrow, you heard me correct, he got sacked two times here in the preseason. You might recall, Joe Burrow was trying to get some snaps in, trying to get in some reps in this preseason. Last year, the Bengals were 0-3. The year before that, they were 1-2. The Bengals, the past couple seasons, every damn year, they're starting the year 1-3, 1-4, and they got to get going late, and they just missed the playoffs. Like, how many times can the Bengals just wake up at the end of the season and go, we're 9-8 again? That's what they've been used to. And Joe Burrow, it's either his calf or they have to rip his appendix out. There's, unfortunately, always something. So he wants to play. He wants to get reps in. He doesn't want to have the slow starts. I don't know. I think maybe he should probably help them out on defense if he can, but that's another issue. Joe Burrow, just a couple weeks ago, he told everybody, I want to play in the preseason. Why?
Like I said, you don't feel that timing and that pressure in practice like you do in the game. So once you get it, you know, first couple drives, you get the feel of it and it gets back into rhythm. But you do have to feel that in order to play at a high level.
And that's part of the reason why you want to play in the preseason.
Correct.
Okay. Well, you can play in the preseason, but like I said, everything is a matter of balance. It could be too much of a good thing. Just last week, Joe Burrow in practice, in a scrimmage against his own damn team, rookie Shamar Stewart ran right into Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow ended up on the ground. And that's not what you want to see from your franchise quarterback, a guy getting paid, what, $50, $55 million a year? And who, oh yeah, by the way, also, unfortunately for him, has a history of his legs being ripped to shreds. Not what you want to see. Shamar Stewart just showed up. And so when you think about a preseason game and the risk of having Joe Burrow out there, do you need three drives? Do you need three possessions to evaluate the situation? I think not. Does he need to get sacked twice? Like, you worrying about friendly fire in your own scrimmage, in your own practice. Well, you can control what happens against the opposition, especially if Joe Burrow is standing on the sidelines. Joe Burrow said, man, you see my guys out here? T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. I got to connect with them.
Well, I don't think it's any secret that we've had to play games without T and Jamar in the past. You know, that's football. Guys are going to get dinged up. Guys are going to miss some games. I've missed games. That's life in the NFL. And so you need guys to step up, and I need reps with those guys at some point.
Yeah, he played against the backups. He played with the backups yesterday. Chase Brown was out there. He's the one who caught the touchdown. Jamar Chase is like, let me save my legs. I need 1,800 yards and 15 touchdowns. I do not need to be out here this season, at least for no preseason game. But you want Joe Burrow to be healthy, right? It would be the most Bengals thing in the world. Not that I want to see it. I enjoy watching Joe Burrow play. When he talks to the media, he can sound pretty miserable, but I enjoy watching him play. They have one more preseason game left in a couple of days. This Saturday against the Indianapolis Colts, I do not expect to see Joe Burrow. Like, what are we doing at this point in time? You mean to tell me that Joe Burrow is going to play on Monday Night Football, the preseason edition. And then he's going to just magically come back. It's not like he played a full game. They're just going to throw him out there on Saturday at 1 o'clock? I think not. I think not. I don't expect to see Joe Burrow at all in this game. They better throw Desmond Ridder out there, get some reps in. But surprisingly, or maybe not so much, Joe Burrow said, listen, if Zach Taylor's going to let me go out there and play, then that's exactly what the hell I'm going to do. Listen to this guy.
Whatever Zach decides, I'm happy to go out there and play as well. Some good learning experiences in the couple drives that we've had. Got some fumbles out of the way, so that was good. Those are just incredibly valuable reps that usually work out those kinks in first couple weeks of the regular season, and we've worked them out last 2 weeks.
Good. No reason to play anymore. None. And if he goes out there, what's the point? If he's only going, he played three drives. He didn't play at all last year. He woke up and said he has 4,900 yards passing, 43 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. The man was in MVP conversation with a terrible defense. What are we doing here? We going to throw him out there for a drive? For what? Why even have him break a sweat? He knows what he's doing. I'd be more concerned and worry about the defense. And forget all of that. I'd be more concerned about what the heck is going on with Trey Hendrickson, Mr. 17 and a half sacks the past two seasons. It's like every day the news gets worse. Oh, now they're open to trading him. And who the hell wants him? And you know, the money is close, but he wants the guaranteed money because the Bengals are cheap. They're not guaranteeing anything. They're guaranteeing him a trip to the bank, and maybe the money's there, maybe it's not. Even Joe Burrow is sick of this. After the game last night, he talked about it. He's like, I want Trey Hendrickson here, but it ain't my business.
Deals with us have gotten done closer to week one. I signed on the Thursday before the first game. Jamar's started to pick up, you know, that week before last year, too. And, you know, we were able to get T and Jamar done early this year, so that was great. But I think historically, the way we've done business is, you know, that tends to pick up here in the next 2 weeks, so we'll see.
Yeah, man. You get closer to the regular season and things start to move. The Cincinnati Bengals, their first game. Well, you got to wait until September 7th. Yeah, this might be training camp. This might be the preseason. There's still plenty of time for the Bengals to get a deal done. Plenty of time. Reportedly, the New England Patriots gave them a call to see what the heck is going on. Can we get him? But if I'm the New England Patriots, is it time to strike? Are you going to a Super Bowl right now? You might go to the postseason, but do you want to give up a draft pick, a future potential young asset that you can be, that can be cost controlled? Do you want to do that in exchange for Trey Hendrickson right now? I wouldn't pull the trigger. The New England Patriots were maybe one more year away, and then a guy was sitting there. Then I think about the possibility. The same way with Terry McLaurin. Patriots are trying to, you know, go out there and compete. I get it. It's steps. It's a process. I think Trey Hendrickson will be available. The first game of the regular season for the Bengals against the other Ohio team, the Browns. This is going to be a fun one. What a fun opener. Joe Burrow will have an opportunity to light up the Browns while the Browns try to figure out who's quarterback 2, 3, 4, and 5 on their depth chart. I can't wait for that one. Joe Flacco versus Joe Burrow. Hey, Joe Burrow, do yourself a favor. Just sit out the last game. I don't think you'll need that many reps to try to outscore Joe Flacco. If I was Joe Burrow, I'd be a jerk. I'd be sending Joe Flacco, Ben Gay to his house before the game. That'd be petty. Yeah, Joe Burrow, don't play on Saturday. Not necessary. Not needed. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the team that declared their starting quarterback today. We're going to get into the Indianapolis Colts. Anthony Richardson has been told, take a seat. Daniel Jones has been told, hey, you're it, you're in. How long is this going to last? Do the Colts have enough options offensively to make some moves? There's a lot of questions to ask regarding this team. When we come back on the other side of the break, we're going to have a chat with Destin Adams, who covers all things Indianapolis Colts for the Colts A to Z. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Indianapolis Colts making some news today, letting everybody know that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback for the team over Anthony Richardson, who they just drafted 2 years ago. This decision made public by Shane Steichen. We now have a word from Anthony Richardson's agent. He's like, oh, we're surprised, and the trust has been broken between us and the team. Well, there's a lot to discuss when it comes down to these Indianapolis Colts. Joining us right now is someone who covers the Colts on the beat for A to Z Sports. His name is Destin Adams. Destin, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm sure you're feeling better than Anthony Richardson right now. Well, we just heard from his agent. Thinks that the trust has been broken. They're thinking about the fact that they gave this man, Daniel Jones, a $14 million deal. Are we going to see Anthony Richardson throw the ball again for the Colts this season?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, he's on the roster. There has not been a formal trade request made. There's not been a trade request of any kind made from Richardson or his team. So as of right now, he's on the roster. He's going to back up Daniel Jones. And there's a lot of talk about how many games Richardson's missed in his career. But Daniel Jones is a guy that's missed roughly 25% of the games of his NFL career as well due to injury. So I definitely think there's a door for Richardson to have the opportunity to see the field again this year. I guess the question is going to be, does he want to see the field as a Colt again?
When you think about his performance just over the past 2 years, whether it's the injuries to his shoulder, a concussion, a leg, he asked out last year, would you have given him the first crack, especially how much they've invested in him 2 years ago?
I mean, it's definitely been an up and down ride for Richardson and the Colts. And I think there were definitely things that had to improve during this training camp. And I think anyone you would ask, Steichen himself mentioned it today, that this was Richardson's best training camp since entering the NFL. The Colts just ultimately landed on it wasn't enough. And for me, I feel like the logistics of the situation just weren't considered enough here by the Colts brass, because to me, like, you technically are not benching Richardson because he was not the starter for 2025. But this feels like a second benching, right? Like, you bench him for Joe Flacco last year. You're sending him to the bench this year for Daniel Jones. And there's just not many stories across the NFL's history of a guy being benched two separate occasions for two different people that you're basically saying, we think this guy is a better quarterback for us to win games. And how many times did those guys come back from something like this and become that team's franchise quarterback? It feels like a mountain has been created and they're asking him to climb it. Can he be that outlier? I guess we'll find out. But for me, I feel like it would have made more sense for, if you think he gets one more shot, it should have been week one and the beginning of the season and letting him play that out. And if it wasn't good enough, you send him to the bench then.
Colts beat writer Destin Adams is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Yeah, I agree with that sentiment. Unless he was just so bad, the locker room wouldn't even trust them to go ahead and put him out there. Thinking about what they did a couple of seasons ago when he was drafted, giving him the keys to the entire organization instead of saying, hey, Gardner Minshew, you go ahead and give it a shot. It seems kind of backwards. Did they kind of throw him to the wolves too soon when he was drafted?
Yeah, I mean, Chris Ballard's mentioned it since that's one of his regrets, is throwing him out there as the week one starter and not letting him kind of learn by watching early on, especially for a guy that they themselves told everyone to be patient with. And looking back on it now, the Colts weren't. The Colts were not patient. They did not practice what they preach in that regard. And it feels like they kind of had to pay for it. And And Richardson is paying for it now, obviously, with having to just kind of have those bumps where maybe he would not have had to go through them. And the Colts have not done this kid any favors throughout his career. It's hard not to feel bad for him, but obviously just the fan base in general right now, a pretty low moment for the fan base today once that announcement was made.
Oh, so the fan sentiment is not in favor of what's taking place.
No, I think the fans probably resonated with what I said earlier, that the logistics here just pointed to the logical thing to do is, if you are going to keep saying, which the team keeps saying, Ballard said it, Steichen said it, assistant general manager Ed Dodds has said it, that just if Richardson did not win this job, it did not mean his future in Indianapolis was over. And you can say that, and those are cool words. You can put it on a Hallmark card if you want, but no one's going to believe it. Because, again, like I said earlier, this is just not something that's happened very often. You've not seen quarterbacks come back from this kind of thing. So if you really did want to give him one more shot, like you keep saying you do, why would it not be the start of the season when you don't have to have any of this if, and, or but about benching him to start the year? Think of that route. He's going to be QB2 to start it.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're being joined by Colts beat writer Destin Adams. Knowing that Jim Irsay is gone, it's an ownership transition to his daughters. What does this mean for Ballard and Steichen? And is there a potential that there is a reset all the way from the top down?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's just a sense of change in terms of the ownership. Just you can tell that there's a change there. I think with Jim, rest in peace, and thankful for everything he was able to do for the city of Indianapolis and the Colts franchise. And I think there was just a sense of closeness between this regime and Jim that made it really hard for anyone to kind of see a world where either guy was going to get moved on from anytime soon. I think that sentiment kind of changes a little bit here with the Irsay daughters coming in and not having as much of a relationship in that regard with these guys, to where results need to be had this season. I think everyone there feels like if they don't win this year, jobs across the team could be up for grabs. The head coaching position, the general manager position, I think veteran players probably feel the sentiment that if the team does not win this year, the team could look very different this time next year. And I think that maybe plays a factor into what happened today. Just wondering if there's a little bit of fear that has creeped in with this organization. And anytime you start operating out of fear, I think that's going to be where you lose a little bit of the fan base, where you're going to lose a little bit of credibility in terms of these moves. But if it works out, they look brilliant. And they'll be telling everyone, I told you so. If it doesn't work out, they're not going to be around to say much at all.
Destin Adams here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. Knowing what the team might look like, just first on the offense, I'm real interested to see what A.D. Mitchell can do here. But Jonathan Taylor, I guess they're going to run this guy into the ground, huh?
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Taylor is going to be the focal point either way. I think his job becomes a little bit tougher going to Daniel Jones. I do think the team prepared for it a little bit with the fact that they went out and got a quarterback that can use his legs more so than they've had the last 2 years with Richardson under center, in terms of Joe Flacco being the backup, in terms of Gardner Minshew being the backup. Because when you did have to make that switch from quarterbacks, there was a pretty drastic shift in the offensive identity because of that. Joe Flacco, great guy to cover, don't get me wrong. Not a guy that's going to move around much anymore, or if at all in his career. So going from Richardson to that was pretty shell-shocking to watch for the Colts offense last year. And you could tell in Jonathan Taylor's production just how much easier it felt for defenses to kind of focus in on Taylor, because they knew there wasn't any other rushing attack coming at them. Whereas with Richardson, a linebacker to kind of have to stay honest and keep assigned to Richardson on any given play. I think Daniel Jones is going to present that element to where he has legs that can extend plays that defenses are going to have to account for. And I think that's going to be big for Jonathan Taylor, and hopefully that makes it to where he can still continue with the success he had last year with being a 1,400-yard rusher.
Well, Destin, you talk about defense. The Colts' defense was pretty pathetic last year. What can we expect from them this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think it's a much better group. I think they've been able to improve the secondary with signings of Charvarius Ward, with Cameron Bynum in the secondary to upgrade a group that really struggled mightily throughout the year. Some injuries have impacted corner, so it's not going to maybe be as high of a ceiling of a group as they were hoping for, but definitely improved. And I also think the team is just very excited for the shift in defensive philosophy that's happened from moving on from Gus Bradley, moving into a well more aggressive style with Lou Anarumo. And I think we've seen it in the preseason. The Colts, the last few years, even before Gus Bradley, you go all the way back to the Matt Eberflus era, the Colts have just not been a team that have blitzed very often. They've not been a team that throw very complex coverage systems at people. They are a team that really gives teams the easy stuff and tries to take away the big stuff. The Colts are going to be a little bit more of an attacking defense this year. They're not going to wait for things to happen. They're going to make things happen, is something you hear a lot of Colts players say. I think Colts players are excited to not be so reactionary this year and being able to be on the offensive, ironically, talking about a defense, obviously. But I think they are really excited to kind of bring that aggression on the defensive side of the ball. And I think even though morale might seem low with fans right now because of that, I think the defense is going to be a bright spot and something exciting to watch this year, just that shift.
So overall, thinking about hopefully what is not a back and forth between Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson, what should we expect? This is not going to be like the Cleveland Browns, everybody paying attention to the QB situation every week, is it?
The team doesn't want that. I mean, Steichen today, when asked about it, said that he doesn't want to have a short leash with the starting quarterback situation. So the job is Daniel Jones. If the struggles continue and he just struggles to start the year and they make that switch, they make that switch. But I think the veteran players have spoke out about it. Last year, when you had Richardson benched, Flacco comes in, gets a 2-week stretch, and they go back to Richardson. I think that back and forth nature upset the locker room more than just making a switch, if that makes sense. You need to have a constant presence in the quarterback position. You have a constant presence in the locker room in general, but at the quarterback position, it's so crucial. You have that same identity throughout the year. The guys know who they're going to battle with. They know who they're going to battle for. And if the guy's healthy, he needs to be the quarterback. So for me, if they do decide to make a switch at some point this year, it needs to be the switch. If Daniel Jones is not working early on, go to Anthony Richardson, let him in the year. And you just kind of have to roll with those punches and see where let things fall where they may, because I don't think the Colts can afford another season like last year where the locker room just has no idea what the identity of this team is.
Destin, final question to you. When I take a look at this, it seems to me I'd lean towards things probably getting much worse before they get better. Do you think I'm accurate in saying that? We know there's a possibility for something good to happen, but I don't feel positive about this.
Yeah, I don't think many people do, JR.
Okay,
I think it's a situation that everyone is going to hope to be proven wrong, but I don't think you see many people reacting to this that don't have a negative connotation of you think they're making a mistake. And again, like I said earlier, maybe the Colts are going to be the wise ones and Daniel Jones is able to have a resurgence like we've seen some of these other veteran quarterbacks when they make that second stop in their career. Will he be a Sam Darnold? Will he be a Baker Mayfield? Will he be a Geno Smith? These are the names they throw around in training camp pressers when talking about what they think Daniel Jones can do. Do I think that's going to happen? I personally don't see it with the Daniel Jones that I've seen on the practice field, the Daniel Jones that I've seen over the years. I'd love to be proved wrong and see him have a successful resurgence in his career, rooting for him for sure. But I definitely am a skeptic.
Yeah, I think you're being a realist. So we'll see what happens there. Hey, good luck to the Indianapolis Colts. I just feel this is going to be a bad season. I think we're going to have quite a few people in management who are going to get a boot to the backside, and I think the Colts fans are going to be the ones to have to pay for it. They've been paying for it for the past couple of seasons, and they may have to tack on a few more. Hey, Destin, thank you so much for the time. Tell everybody where they could follow you and all your work covering the Colts.
Yeah, you can catch me on X or Twitter, whatever you call it these days, at the Destin Adams. I'll post all throughout the season covering the Indianapolis Colts, and you'll get a bit of other content from me throughout the year covering the NFL draft up until that process. And you can also find all my written work on the Colts and the NFL draft at AtoZSports.com.
Hey, Destin, thank you. We'll catch you on down the line. Hopefully things are positive when we have you back, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much to Destin Adams. Go ahead and check out all of his work. And good luck to the Colts, man. Feel bad for their fans. Hello, Ryan Hickey. I feel bad for you, too. Not really. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Do you agree with what the Indianapolis Colts did today? Do you agree that Daniel Jones should start over Anthony Richardson? I say, hell no. Like, give Anthony Richardson a shot. You drafted him 2 years ago. Like, give him a shot to go out there and fail. And sure, at some point he is going to fail. But at least give him the chance. Is he really that bad? I think this is going to get real bad for the Indianapolis Colts. What do you think? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. What are your thoughts on Daniel Jones starting over Anthony Richardson? And like I said, the fact that Jim Irsay is gone, it's going to make it tough. I think they eventually, his daughters are going to clean house, okay? We'll talk about this on the other side of the break. And then speaking of ownership changes, we've had an ownership change just become official today. The Boston Celtics have a new owner. We're going to talk about this on the other side of the break. But right now, it's time for a news flash. Here he is. It's Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Destin Adams for joining us. Covers the Colts for A to Z Sports. He's on the beat for the Indianapolis Colts. You know, he's seen what's taken place over the past couple of seasons when it comes down, unfortunately, to Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson has been shown, I'm not going to say he's been shown the door. He's been shown the bench. Have a seat. It's Daniel Jones time. Damn. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. It's just, doesn't feel good. Like, I'm not a Colts fan. I do not care. But when I think about them drafting Anthony Richardson, knowing that he didn't even have a lot of experience in college, selected him at number 4 overall, put him out onto the field ahead of Gardner Minshew, have publicly said that they've regretted that decision. The man has dealt with injuries to his shoulder, to his head. Yeah, it seems like he needed to learn a little bit more, don't you think? Then you bring on Daniel Jones because why the hell not? You do want to push the guy. The results haven't been there. Daniel Jones is a more complete quarterback, has a longer resume, has been to the playoffs, has done some winning, has done a lot of losing. Give him $14 million and he wins the job. I still would have given Anthony Richardson that first crack. I'd give him that first opportunity to say, hey, you know, things aren't going right. We're gonna switch things up now. And as Destin pointed out, a lot of it probably has to do with the fact that everybody's looking out for their own behind right now. We don't have time to say, Anthony Richardson, lose us a game or two before we pull you for Daniel Jones. They're like, hey, we know what we got in Daniel Jones. We know who he is. We know who he isn't. At least he's going to be a whole hell of a lot more stable, possibly, than Anthony Richardson. Why take the risk? Shane Steichen looks miserable every time I see this man. You would think that they have already fired him. Jim Irsay's daughters have taken over. And if they are a complete disaster, man, I think his oldest daughter is the one leading the franchise. She's been known to wear a headset on the sidelines because she wants to know more about the game. I don't knock her for trying to learn. Seems to be a better strategy than anything Jerry Jones has done over the past, I don't know, 30 years. She's gonna pull that trigger and say, get the hell up on out of here. I think this is going to be a horror season, a horror show at the end of the year by the Indianapolis Colts. Botcha, what do you think? Should they have put Richardson out there or Daniel Jones?
Either way, unless you actually think your roster is playoff caliber, maybe wild card caliber, that's the only reason you play Daniel Jones. If you're believing in your team for the future and developing a starter for the long term, probably 5-10 years, you need to play Richardson. So this tells you, I think they're going to go a 1 year short run. Maybe they'll sneak into the playoffs with Jones, and then they'll move on from Richardson.
Yeah, well, they see the writing is on the wall. This is what you call a CYA time. Cover your ass. This is where they're at. Like, they feel the fire, they feel the heat, and they're saying, oh, you know what? I got to do what's best for me. And the only thing that's going to be best for me to keep my job is to try to be on the winning side of the ledger. I got more W's, pick up more W's than L's. But it's not a good look. I wouldn't be surprised. And can you imagine if this happens? And if this happens, then you just go to hell with it. If they say, or his agent says, let's move on from Anthony Richardson, A, that's another massive L. Huge L for Chris Ballard. But then, now you're really stuck with Daniel Jones. And at least there won't be a quarterback controversy, but that could go one of two ways. Eventually, Daniel Jones is going to drive you into the ground. Possibly. I think he's an average QB. But it's going to be a massive mark on Ballard. We got to see. I know the Browns, they get a lot of the attention with Shador and Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel. This could be another disaster in the NFL. And last night we talked about the New York Giants, another, not so much a disaster, but who knows? We may see Jackson Dart, we may not. Some interesting quarterback controversies, and the Colts situation is certainly kind of pushed forward because of the passing of Jim Irsay. Yeah, it's crazy. Ownership switches. And speaking of ownership switches and changes, it's official. The Boston Celtics have a new owner. No, there is no three-year plan to cede ownership. There's none of that from Wick Grosbeck. He is no longer the owner of the Celtics. He's no longer the lead. That is now Bill Chisholm. Last week, the other NBA teams, the other NBA owners, they said, yes, it's official. It can go through. Well, today it was finalized. Bill Chisholm put out a message, and he thanked all of the fans now that he has taken control of the Boston Celtics. A matter of fact, here's the news from earlier today. Providence Now, ABC 6.
And just into our newsroom, the sale of the Boston Celtics to a group led by Bill Chisholm has been finalized. The sale cost more than $6.1 billion. The finalization was just confirmed in a press release from the C's. The NBA approved the deal unanimously last week. Chisholm takes ownership of at least 51% of the team, with full control coming by 2028. In a statement, Chisholm says, quote, "We are committed to building on the legacy of the Celtics and raising banners."
Oh, we're going to see. We know this year, we just talked about the Indiana Pacers. They went to the NBA Finals. Well, as a result of everybody being hurt all over the damn place. But they went. The Pacers are facing a gap year. You got Tyrese Halliburton down. You got Miles Turner on another team, the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Celtics, well, we got Brown. He's coming into the season, coming off of a knee procedure. And then we shouldn't expect to see Tatum at all this upcoming season. He blew out his Achilles against the New York Knicks. That was pretty awful. And so the Celtics are like, well, we ain't winning nothing. Let's shed some salary. There ain't no championship contender here. Why are we going to pay all this damn money and the tax and multiple levels of the tax and the apron if we ain't winning? So Drew Holiday is gone. Kristaps Porzingis is here in Atlanta, where he probably won't play. Al Horford probably ain't coming back. He's still a free agent out here. God knows where he ends up. Maybe lucky for him, he'll play like half a season somewhere, win another championship. But the Celtics, here's the thing. Are they going to stay all in? You know, Wick Grosbeck, for now, it says that he will run basketball operations day-to-day with Bill Chisholm. Come on now. Bill Chisholm is the owner. He's going to be the one to call the shots. And I'm sure over the next several years, Wick Grosbeck, you'll be shown the boot. We heard the same thing when Mark Cuban ended up selling the Dallas Mavericks, that he was still going to run basketball operations. Does it seem like Mark Cuban is running basketball operations? Did it seem that way when Luka Doncic got sent to the Los Angeles Lakers? No. Whoever the hell owns the team, they get final say on what's taking place. And so this is a lot of lip service. When you got Tatum and Brown, these guys are making what? Approaching $140 million a year in a couple of years, couple of seasons, sooner than later? Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised eventually if one of these guys still goes. I'm thinking on that one. Okay. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, Celtics got a new owner. Who knows how much longer this team will look the way it does. It's going to be different whenever Tatum is back. But I'm going to tell you about somebody who's not coming back because he retired today. Kentucky's own, Carolina's own, DC's own, John Wall. He said, I'm done.